It's good to see you all out, and we welcome those joining us on Facebook. I hope you all had a good week. I've been stuck on fireworks for, I guess, the last month now. I've seen a video on fireworks that explained how the chemicals are used to create different colors in the fireworks. I'm not just satisfied with just watching fireworks. I kind of dig into it a little bit, and I'm not going to really bore you with any of the science, mostly because I don't really understand most of the science. But it does involve incandescent gas that makes the bright white fireworks and the sparklers. But if you want to add more control over your colors, then you need luminescence. And like yellow is made from using sodium, and when that gas gets lit, it sends these electrons up, and they get excited in a certain way, and they start jumping around from low energy to high energy. But then when they come back down, they release a photon, just this little packet of light, and the sodium element then gives it that yellow light. So you can add different kind of minerals or elements to give different colors. And that's about where I got overwhelmed and just went back to watching regular fireworks shows. Maybe some of you all knew some of that, all of those fireworks on the 4th of July, and it's all because they've mixed together different chemicals to make those wonderful and vibrant colors. Of course, we know that fireworks can be dangerous, and that's because you mix together a bunch of different chemicals that causes an explosion. That's why for the big shows, you have to have a license to set those off. It's why it's a good idea to have the fire department on standby during those shows. That there's power in those fireworks, and if they're not handled properly, they can be dangerous. They have a power that needs to be respected, a power that needs to be controlled by someone who knows what they're doing. Well, in our text this morning that Nathan read, we read an interesting statement about power. We're told there at the end of Luke 6:19 that all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And that should kind of catch our attention, because this isn't the only time that power is mentioned when speaking of people being healed by Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, it says, On one of those days as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And then in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43, we read a story there about a woman who had had a discharge of blood for about 12 years. And though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." In Mark's gospel, in Mark 5:30, he tells the same story a little bit differently. It says that Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" There again, it says that Jesus perceived that power had gone out from him. And I could be wrong, but it's almost as if when this woman is healed by Jesus, it's if he's almost taken by surprise when she touched him. But let's sort of hang on to that in the back of your mind, and we'll circle back around to that. The first thing I want us to notice here in Luke chapter 16, verses 17 through 19, is where it says he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and he healed them all. People were coming to Jesus because they wanted to be touched by Jesus. They wanted the power to come out from Jesus and to change our lives. And really, in many ways, that's why a lot of us are here today. It's not just a religious ritual that we're going through. We do sing and we do pray and we take communion and we listen to a sermon, but we also come here to be touched by Jesus. In fact, that's why most of us probably became Christians. We wanted Jesus to touch us. We wanted his power in our lives. We came to Jesus so his power could change us and so that we would have power to overcome the difficulties that we face. When Jesus touches you,
He fixes you on the inside. He changes who you are. He cleans up what maybe you've messed up. He fixes what you've broken in your life. And that's why many of us are here this morning. If we do this church thing right, we can lay hold of the power that Jesus can give us. So the first thing I want us to see is that the touch of Jesus can give us God's power. The next thing I want you to notice in this passage is that power came out from him and healed them all. And again, in Mark 5:30, it says power had gone out from him. Where did this power come from? Well, the power came from God through Christ Jesus. And the point is this, is that if you want God's power in your life, then you need to get it from Christ as well. Too many people, too many Christians even, believe that they have adequate power in their lives to handle whatever comes their way. And so they don't bother to have Jesus touch their lives. But that isn't a true thing. If you think about like a vacuum cleaner, all you have to do is flip the switch and make it work, right? Well, not exactly, right? You still have to plug it into something that has power, like a socket in the wall that has electricity going to it. Well, in the same way, in order to have the kind of power that God wants me to have in my life, I need to plug my life into someone or something that actually has the power to give that to me. I need to plug my life into Jesus. So, of course, I guess the question becomes, then how do I plug into Jesus' power? Well, if we look all throughout the Bible, we find in Romans there that Paul says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So God's power comes to me through the Spirit of God. When we became Christians, God made that same power that raised Jesus from the dead to live inside of us. The presence of that spirit inside of us is what gives us the power that Jesus died to make sure that we have, that Jesus died to give us the opportunity to have. There are lyrics to a modern worship song that convey that. It says that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. So what does that power do for us? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:20, says to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we have asked or think, according to the power at work within us. So God can do all kinds of things for us because of the power of the Holy Spirit that he put inside of us. And God can do far more abundantly than we can ask or we can think. That's what God's power can do for you. You recall a statement that God makes to King David in 2 Samuel 12 where he says, I gave you your master's house, and I gave you your master's wives into your arms, and I gave you the house of Israel of Judah. And if this too were too little, or if this were too little, I would add to you much more. God would have given David far more abundantly than he could even ask or think. And that's the same promise that we have from God today. Once Jesus touches us, we have access to all the power and blessings that God could give. But what if he doesn't? What if God doesn't give me everything that I can think or ask to have? Well, this, I think, is where we sort of go back to the beginning. You remember where I said maybe Jesus seemed a little bit surprised when the woman touched him and the power went out from him. And I'm kind of just speculating here, but I believe this woman touched Jesus. She was healed even though Jesus didn't realize it had happened. But how could that be? How could she be healed if Jesus didn't even know she was there? Well, her faith is what healed her. Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Jesus didn't need to know that she had touched him, because this contact that she had made brought about her healing was really based upon the contract that God had made. And the contract is this, that our faith in him turns on the power. It's like that electrical socket, right? The power is in the socket. I don't have to plug anything into it, but there's still power in there. The power is there because, like, the electric company has a contract with us or with me at the house. So anytime that I plug something into that socket, The juice is there waiting. The electric company doesn't need to know that we've plugged anything in because, again, we have a contract with them, and so the power is just waiting. In the same way, whenever you come to Jesus with faith, you plug into his power. The power is there, and it's on at all times. But if you don't get what you want or need, is it Jesus' fault that you didn't get it? Or is there something else wrong? When I was a kid, our TV would go out every time the clouds start to build. It would get hit by lightning. Now, we could take that TV and we could move it to another room and we could plug it in. Do you think the TV worked? Well, no, because the problem wasn't with the electric company, right? The problem was with the television set. And sometimes in the same way, when we don't get all the things that we ask or think, the problem isn't with God. There's something else wrong. Maybe it's a problem with our faith, or maybe it's a problem, something inside of our lives that we're trying to cover, or maybe it's something that we're asking for that might hurt our witness. I mean, just because I think it's a good idea, it doesn't mean that it would necessarily be a good thing for me. I think there's one more reason that robs us of God's power and blessings in our lives. And to discover what that is, let's look again at Luke 6:12. It says, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. I think the problem for a lot of us is that we don't receive what God would give us because we don't ask, as James would tell us. Jesus had power because he prayed. Paul would say in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 6, that though he was the form of a God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. It's not like he simply took the nameplate of God off the boss's desk. Philippians is saying that Jesus literally removed, he took off his godhood with all of its power, and he allowed himself to become mortal just like you and I. Thus, in order to have the power that he needed to perform miracles and healings, Jesus needed to pray. And Jesus did that a lot. Jesus prayed before healing the crowds in Mark 1. He prayed before he fed the 5,000 in Mark 6. He prayed before healing the man who was deaf in Mark 7. He prayed before bringing the dead back to life in John 11. He prayed every time that he needed power to do anything. A lot of times we don't have the power of God in our lives is because we don't spend any time in prayer. Maybe we forget, or we're too busy, or we just don't think it's going to do any good. But Jesus showed us in his earthly ministry that if you're going to have access to the power of God, then you need to pray. And I don't think that we should be intimidated that Jesus prayed all night at times. He was a professional at this. He understood prayer's power and effectiveness in ways that we can only guess at. Most of us get frustrated when we have to pray maybe more than 5 minutes at a time. We run out of things to say, but that's okay. I think you just pray. You pray for 5 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever it is. Just talk to God and talk to him like you do your spouse or a friend or a family member. Tell him what you're thinking. Tell him what you're grateful for. And if you have a lot of time, tell him what frustrates you. But don't worry about filling a time gap. It's not like God's up there looking at his watch and thinking, if they don't go 30 more seconds, I'm cutting the blessings off. He just doesn't work like that. So do it. Say prayer. Do it as long as you feel comfortable. And again, don't worry about filling time with stuff that doesn't matter to you. The more that you do talk with God like this, the more likely you are to pray longer and longer, till it will seem like you can't pray enough when you do. But pray, because prayer turns on the power of God. As we finish up, the Greek word for power here, and I'm going to say it wrong, is dunamis. And we get the English word dynamite from that. So the folks who invented those explosive sticks used that word to describe their invention, I think in part because they understood that God's power was like an explosive force of dynamite they had just created. There's a story of an old farmer who had a large tree out in the field. He loved the tree, but it died. And so he cut it down and it left a large stump. And he wondered what to do with the stump and thought the only way to get his field to plow it better would be to blow the stump up. And so he had a friend come over and they set dynamite all around the stump. And then they lit it, and of course, the stump blew up into the air, scattering fragments all over the place. So if you can imagine the power of dynamite, then you have an idea of the kind of power that God has placed inside of us. But now, how do we get to that power inside of us to begin with? How did God put his spirit inside of us? Well, we're told in Acts where Peter preached a sermon to the crowds at Pentecost, and the people were so convinced there by Peter's sermon that they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If there's someone here this morning that is looking to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit by putting Christ on in baptism, maybe you need prayers of the congregation, have a need in some way, make that be known as together we stand and we sing.